Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Lon. Let's get into it because there's a lot to cover.
Let's do it.
I figure we can start with Ellie and Victor.
$230 for a drill?
So apparently someone did the math and that was wrong math or wrong conversion.
What?
It was supposed to be $2.32, I think. Not
what?
Yeah. I think
that's even more unbelievable. $2.32. Okay, for a drill?
Wait, did you say the drill was $232, right?
I think the total bill.
Oh, the total bill.
After, yeah, when they got rung up, the total bill was $230. And I want to say the big part of that was the drill and the batteries.
Okay, so it's 232 Colombian peso, or was it 232 US dollar?
Supposed to be US. When they did the little infographic, you know, that pops up.
Yeah.
I want to say that it's a 230 something.
Oh, okay. Because in pesos, it is 872,434 peso. Yikes. Are we sure that's the correct? But someone on Reddit apparently said the conversion was wrong.
Okay.
So I think either that was a typo or they're being so extra with the conversion. But anyway.
But still, $2.30 for a drill is also kind of, that's way too inexpensive.
Yeah. So I have a question for you.
Hmm.
If Ellie wasn't around, how do you think someone like Victor is going to fix up his house?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he said he doesn't earn an income.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think that he's in a fortunate position where there is somebody with money who can afford to help him out during this time. It almost felt like he was taking advantage of her, but I like how they kind of interviewed the both of them, where they kind of stood on that. And didn't he say like he felt bad about it? Because I know she almost felt like he was just taking advantage of her, but he said, well, I feel guilty about it. It didn't look like it when they were both together. Like it looked like he was just like, yeah, we're going to need that. We're going to need a generator.
Yeah.
But I think during like the one-on-one on the interviews, he expressed that he felt kind of bad having her pay for the stuff.
Do you think he would have stayed with the side chick then? Because it seems like the side chick was funding him as well.
I don't want to make these leaps about a person's character. But man, look, you got to do what you got to do, you know, be as authentic as you can be about it. But, you know, hey, man, you got to live. It's kind of like where I see, you know, the Evelyn and Corey situation, right? I think people, they're going to do what they got to do to survive. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to fool anybody into thinking that you're in love with them. But I mean, if you can get into a genuine relationship and she's like, you know what, I'd like to help you out. And I'd be like, oh, that's so nice of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't put it past him. And I think anybody who needs that kind of help would also hopefully fall in love and hit the jackpot. Right? Isn't that what people talk about on 90 Day Fiancé anyway, is like, people falling in love, and it just so happens that the circumstances are fortunate.
Yeah.
And it just so happens, it doesn't have to be that maybe they're using people. It just so happens, oh, this person is of a lot of means, right? Or mm-hmm. or is poor or whatever. And it just so happens that they fell in love. You know, who's to not say that they didn't fall in love? Why is it always, oh, they're using that person? Not. They fell in love, and it just so happens to be that one guy is well off and the other person isn't. So I could kind of see maybe him navigating his circumstances that way and getting into a relationship that's mutually beneficial.
I guess he can consider himself very lucky, especially since he lost his house and he still hits the jackpot because Ellie makes mad money. That's what she said, right? Victor thinks she makes mad money.
Mad money.
But I mean,
yeah, she
like,
did say mad money.
Right. But why wouldn't he think that way? Because, and why wouldn't she think that he's not using her for money? Because she did send him money. She buys him clothes, buys him food, pays his rent, funded their house renovation. Now I bet she's paying for the hotel, whatever, rental apartment.
You're creating this perception of yourself.
Right.
Yeah. And but they're going to have expectations.
I guess if there's a mutual understanding, like you said, if it's a consensual thing, right? If one partner knows that the other partner would not be able to contribute as much, then who are we to say, like, this is not the right relationship for the other person? No, go for it.
I was just going to ask, did you think the apology was sincere? For me, they kind of glossed over it, and then they went to the whole shopping thing, which was kind of fun, but I think the meat and potatoes of this part for me was Ellie actually confronting him about it and him having to apologize for what went down.
Yeah, I just think that he tried to trivialize it by saying that, oh, she doesn't mean anything to him.
Yes.
Which I thought made it worse, because then it becomes like a one night stand type of thing. But then Ellie knows from the side chick that they almost moved in together. Like, dude, you're trying to play off both women? Like,
yeah.
What, player?
For me, it came off like every guy who's cheated will say the same shit, man. And it always comes off that way, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it meant nothing. It was just a small, like, fling. Like, you know what I mean? Of course, you know, they're going to say that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So you could fall for it. It seemed like he was being genuine. He gave the puppy dog eyes and he was like, look, it's not like that. But to me, it just sounds like we've heard this before. It's the same song, right?
Yeah.
All the time whenever people cheat and then they have to own up to their, take accountability for their actions.
Yeah. I feel like the 2021 version of I tripped and fell on her pussy is... Well, what am I going to do? We were stuck in a quarantine. You know what I mean? That's the excuse he gave. He blamed the quarantine. I'm like, what's that got to do with you being faithful in that long distance relationship? Anyway, speaking of quarantine, someone who has used that excuse before, but to get back at their partner, is Corey and Evelyn. What do you think of the scenes of Corey trying to redeem himself by foraging a nearby garden and picking
up
some random flowers?
He always does this, right? Is he the same guy that did this in a previous season? Like, didn't he? Or was it somebody else? Maybe I had deja vu, but I could have swore he did this another time.
Is it Paul? Maybe.
Oh, maybe it was Paul.
They both seemed kind of cheap.
Didn't they, like, find flowers on the side of the road and said, oh, let me get some flowers. Like, dude, can't you just go to a florist to get some flowers?
Oh, dude, you know who did that? Is
somebody did that, right?
Was that Jeffrey?
I forget.
Who stopped by the freeway and he
was it Jeffrey?
Yeah. Remember? And then he gave it to Varya's mom.
Guys, get some flowers. Little pro tip. Spend the money. Get some flowers, y'all.
Get some genuine-ass roses,
don't just pick
man.
Some stuff, dude, and then say, here you go, which is almost what I thought Corey did. Anyway, respect your wishes. That's all I'm saying. I know easier said than done when you love somebody, especially when they're telling you to back off. You know, you're going to say, no, I'm going to prove to you that I can be your man. And that's the last thing you want to do is to respect their wishes. But just respect their wishes. You know, maybe that's me talking from a 42-year-old perspective. Just respect their wishes. Respect their wishes. And who knows, maybe they'll grow to miss you and they'll give you an opportunity, but you're not going to brute force your way into her heart. That's not going to happen.
How is he saying he respects Evelyn's decision, but yet also in the same token wants to not sign the divorce paper or wants to rip apart the divorce paper? Like, he's not really respecting her wishes then.
Right.
He's not leaving her alone, that's for sure.
He's not leaving her alone. She's like, sign the papers. No.
But something tells me she likes it. She likes the attention, because that's her original intention when they first broke up after they got married. Is that, remember what we discussed in our last episode, was that
you need to put up a fight.
Yeah. Right. She wanted him to reflect on
not
it,
like,
and then
that.
Come knocking back. Yeah, but not see other people. That's not what I meant. Even though I said we can go see other people.
Right.
So I think these two deserve each other. At this point, Long, I cannot with these two. I just cannot. They're too toxic for me.
You saw the preview for the next episode?
Yeah, they went to counseling. Oh, so clearly they want to be with each other. They're just playing hard to get. Oh, you know, Evelyn's playing hard to get and he's just puppy dogging his way to her or something, you know?
Yeah, on the preview when the person is like, so are you guys trying to stay together or save your marriage or whatever? She was like, no. And he's like, yes. I'm like, if the answer was no, then why'd you even agree to this?
Yeah, why are you even there?
Why are you even there? Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you talking?
We're just going to... So it's like what you were saying. Yeah, like, it's almost like she's just leaving enough to see how hard he's going to fight.
Right. Dude, that's so high school. That's like how us girls would view love, right? When they think like, oh, we're going to break up with you, but if you really love us, you're going to come crawling back. And like, no.
It was a test.
Yeah. Don't play those games. Come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Anyway, I figure we can touch lightly on Ari and Bini. Not that there's a lot to say, but I just like the fact that her sister called her out on her overseas face, I guess, right? When, I'm not sure if you remember, but during the dinner, the sister pretty much called her out and said,
it's
are you
over.
Really sure?
You had your fun.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Come
quit
back
playing
now. Yeah. We get it. Yeah. You spent time in Ethiopia.
We get it. You're an expert in Ethiopia now. Just come back and be the Princeton girl that you were supposed to be.
Yeah.
I don't know, y'all. Like, I just feel like I think your siblings can see right through you. And that pretty much sums up the whole situation. And the thing is, it's no secret too, because she did try to apply for a K-1 visa for Bini.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know why they're not fighting hard enough for it. Like, I bet her family is able to lawyer up and figure out how to expedite this process, but they're just kind of like throwing their hands up in the air and just surrendering to the whole like, oh yeah, but you know, pandemic, so we don't know what's going on. And I'm like, no, that sounds like an excuse. You're just either just sitting on it and prolonging this whole inevitability, but I don't know. It just, yeah.
She doesn't really want to be in Ethiopia. Oh, I kind of like it there. And she was trying to convince them and stuff. And no, if you really wanted, then you would have trusted the doctors there.
Right.
Right. And you would have stuck it out there. Yeah. Like, you're saying you do, but you're showing us another thing. So, you know, my thing is, I think it would be better. I think Bini should come to America. But with that said, I don't like how it's always the American side that's like, well, you know, we want your baby to grow up with us and we want to see the baby and blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, what about the other family?
Yeah, so what about the sisters?
You just want to pull them away from them? Yeah, like, why does it always have to be on us, right? Like, that gets our cake. You're not thinking about the other family, though. Like,
true, true.
Yeah, I get it. You know, right now, Ari is staying away from her family, but whenever Americans start to speak that way, like, oh, you should come here and we need to see this and blah, 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 they have complete disregard for the other side of the family. You know, and I'm like, okay. There's other families too you got to take into consideration.
Yeah. I think maybe the quick way to remedy that is to actually at least address that part where, you know, Avi should maybe stay here in the US, but we should go over to Ethiopia every other year.
They have the means.
Yeah, they have the means. Yeah. Exactly. But it's like, almost like the way they plan this is, okay, just move the entire family here and then forget about the Ethiopian side of his family. Like, what? Anyway, I mean, this whole thing seems very contrived anyway, because I think we all know Bini's already in the US, right? Based on his social media. I thought
the
we looked
him
account,
up. Yeah.
And this next episode that we're about to see this coming week, they're fighting over the fact that Bini's having too much fun. I'm like, dude, the guy did ask you not to leave him. And now you're trying to pick a fight with him about how he's ignoring you.
I mean,
it's
what
so
was
staged.
On the trailer, you didn't pick up your phone, or you hung up on me and then you didn't pick it up.
Yeah, and you were not available for 3 hours or something. Like, come on, man. I mean, first of all, difference in time zone. Like, hello.
Yeah.
But anyway.
She's pulling an Angela
Yeah. Oh, totally. Oh my God.
right
Pulling the Angela.
now. Yeah. I called you and it was 2 a.m. your time.
Michael, where are you? Oh, man.
Michael's just trying to get some sleep.
I know. Hey, Michael, I just finished my boob job. Why aren't you answering
I
me?
need some comfort from you now.
I know. Meanwhile, Michael is like still in REM,
Yeah,
4 a.m.
he's
in the morning.
like,
Oh man, poor Michael. All right, on to some really heartwarming stuff. Armando and Kenny, I don't know if you have anything much to say about this one, but I just want to start off by saying at first I was mad because I was like, what? Now you want to adopt? Like, it's such a contrived storyline, right? It just comes across as disingenuous. But I now see the brilliance of this staged, whether or not it's coming from a real intention or otherwise, I can see what they're doing here. They are shining a light on adopting kids with pre-existing
HIV.
condition, yeah, with HIV, such as HIV, right? Which I think in and of itself a very noble cause. And I applaud them for shining a light and bringing awareness to how gay couples, when they think about having kids, they're like, oh yeah, let's in vitro this, right? I like the fact that they showed us, oh, there's this path where we can adopt kids. And it's not just any ordinary kids. It's kids with special needs, such as someone with a HIV, which they tend to get neglected because HIV. And I thought that was a really good scene and good staged. I mean, it does seem kind of staged, but it's bringing awareness, and I really appreciate it. I feel like there was some thought put into it. You know, they're like, okay, so now we've gone through the family drama. What's next? Okay, gay couple, adoption, having kids. All right, so what do? How can we make this a meaningful scene? Okay, let's just talk about adopting kids that have a sickness that the society shuns them away. So, you know, I respect them if that was their true intention. But otherwise, I was like, well, we don't need this drama. Just focus on the wedding, y'all. Talk about it. Fight over that. You don't have to like add this additional drama because I think Kenny has a point. He's in his 60s. Does he really want to have a kid? And I get Armando's point too, because he wants Kenny's bloodline to be part of his family. I get both sides. But to Kenny's point, if they do actually have a baby and he's in his 60s, I think his concern is when he goes, then Armando would be left with Hannah and this kid to take care on his own. And I don't think he can bring himself to think about that. Or to, you know, burden Armando with that. And I thought that was very sweet.
Yeah. I echo your sentiment about the children with pre-existing conditions and that you can adopt. You know, this is something that I would never have come across in my daily life at all. It's so, you know, with TLC used to be
Learning
the learning
channel.
channel, I fucking learned something, you know, and I was like, "Oh, I didn't know that." So, yeah, I thought that was a heartwarming scene. They tied it in really well with here's our options, right? Back to actually Kenny and Armando. And I understand where Kenny is coming from. And I want to have your blood, you know, flesh and blood, and as part of this family. And I thought that was a really nice sentiment. And I'm not trying to speak for them. You know, I know that they listen to our podcast. So I was like, I'm
I
trying
know
to
they're
speak
our
for y'all.
imaginary friends.
Yeah. We're besties and shit, guys. But enjoy it, right? Like you said, go ahead and plan the wedding. Plan the honeymoon and enjoy life with Hannah. And that's not to say that you're going to have a difficult time raising another kid, but I think the difficult part is over, right? Like now you can both focus your energies on Hannah. You don't have to raise a baby from infancy. And I get it. It's a very beautiful thing, trust me, but it's also tough. It also puts a strain on the relationship. And maybe that's just me talking because I can't imagine being responsible for another life, you know, at this point in mine to come home, or excuse me, not even come home, but, you know, after work, the last thing I want to do is be responsible and then not being able to get some sleep, or just the stress of having to figure out how am I going to feed and clothe another life outside of mine. I'm speaking from selfishness. I'll admit to that. But like, enjoy, enjoy each other's company, right? But I get it. I understand when people have a need or a want to raise another child and to do it together, but they have Hannah.
So. Yeah, they're not exactly empty nesters. You know what I mean? Like Kenny has four kids.
Kenny's already done that. So the way I see, you know, I try to compare it with my situation right now, like Koi has two kids of her own, right? And the daughter who we're taking care of right now is 14. So Koi has been there and done that. Mm. So it's almost like you spent your life doing this. And then I'm going to say, hey, guess what? You know what you just did? You got to do it again. Back to square one. Like, you know what I mean? And I don't, for me, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to, they've been there, they've done that. And unless she wanted to go through that road again, I would just be like, nah, we're good. We're going to take care of the kids you have. And let's just enjoy that the difficult part's over. Or maybe it's not. I don't know. Wait till she turns 16, 17, 18. I don't, who knows what's going to happen.
Never say never, Long.
Yeah.
I think personally for me, Kenny, if you're listening to this, I would love to see you attend Spanish speaking classes so you can say your vows in Spanish. Wouldn't that be something to watch?
Yeah.
I'd be just down to watch that.
Vows in Spanish?
Yeah.
Tearjerker right there.
Right. If he suddenly bust out fluent Spanish during the vows, that would definitely bring me to floods of tears. I think that would be entertaining to watch. Sorry, Kenny, but you know, I think you might struggle to learn Spanish, seeing how you're already struggling to speak basic Spanish with Armando's family. And maybe Kenny's hiding it. Maybe he does speak fluent Spanish. He's just waiting for the right time to like bust it out. So he might surprise all of us. But I'm just giving y'all ideas because this particular storyline, while it's, again, a noble cause, I just think that it's so out of left field, especially after you've gone through the whole family drama. And then suddenly, instead of focusing on the wedding, adoption, like, shouldn't that come after? I don't know. Anyway, before we go down the rabbit hole there, do you want to talk about Stephen with a V and Alina?
That entire shit bugged me, man.
Which part? The fact that Mormons cannot drink coffee and wine, or?
All of it. So again, picking and choosing, right? You can't have coffee. Like, come on.
Yeah.
And again, it's religion is touchy because people's beliefs are people's beliefs and stuff like that. But like, she can have coffee. She can have coffee. If you can give into the temptation of sleeping with women and then say, gosh, I was a moment of weakness.
Yeah. She can have a moment of weakness
and choice
by drinking coffee.
All right. And then and ask for forgiveness later.
Let the woman enjoy some Java.
That's not how that works. I get it. But you know what I'm saying? There are just some things like it's coffee, you know, and I don't think having coffee makes you a bad person. There's these things that does not make you a bad person. You know, drinking coffee doesn't make you a bad person. I get it. You know, my mom was also one of those, oh, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, all right, well, getting a tattoo and piercings doesn't make me a bad person. Just like going to church doesn't make anyone a good person. Like there's just certain things about religion that I just, that made me fall out of it. But that's a sidebar. The part that really, really bugged me was watching him trying to convert her mom.
Oh, that's disgusting. That's cringe.
Yeah. Cringy. And he was pushing it because she, not for me.
He was being calm about it.
Well, I think about blah, blah, blah. Not really my cup of tea. Well, I'm just like, dude, can you shut up? Can you just shut up, dude?
Yeah.
Pump the brakes on it, bro.
Dude, I really want to know who said that coffee isn't good or nutritious for you because. Yeah. I mean,
how did he phrase it? Is that what he's?
He mentioned it's nutritional reasons that they don't drink coffee, and I'm like, but God created coffee, right? If you believe in that whole stance of like God created everything, okay, but God created coffee. Why is it for you to resist?
Yeah.
Okay, if you should resist coffee, then resist sex. You know, God created sex too, I bet. So,
and it's good.
It's for you to enjoy, just like a cup of coffee. Damn it. Just get yourself a latte. But yeah, I do have to say, as much as I hated that scene where he's trying to get the mom to be baptized as a Mormon, it hit a nerve with me because that's how some of my family members are in Singapore, is that they do not accept the fact that I am with someone that's not of the same religion. It's not that bad until the fact that they found out that we're going to get married. And then that's when they're like, oh, but is he going to be converting? I'm like, what's that got to do with love? What's that got to do with relationship? And they gave the same reason too. They gave the same reason as, well, when you start a family and you bring kids up, you want them to be in a household with the same uniformed religion. And I have to say, growing up, I bought that. I bought into that. But then I also feel like religion is not exactly something that I want to force down on my kids, you know?
And you can raise perfectly good children too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So that rationale kind of like that ship has sailed for me. So when he tried to evangelize the mom,
hitting close to home there, you're like,
yeah, I was like, oh God, no, not one of these people. Yeah. Especially when they questioned him about his hypocrisy, remember what he said? Had he not experimented, he wouldn't know how his faith can be tested.
Test. And I'm
like, motherfucker, this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I know.
Now I know how good it is. I know the sacrifice I'm making by not having sex.
This guy.
Right?
Dude.
This guy, dude. Come on, man.
Her mom did a good job of, well, I don't think she called her out to her face. And when they did the interview part, when she said, I think Alina's lying to herself.
Right.
She definitely, for me, nailed it, right? Because that fortune thing, that wasn't even really a fortune. Like, I would believe crystal balls and actual like people who claim to read minds over then, oh, I wrote something on a piece of paper and depending on what this bunny rabbit picks out, that's what you get, you know? Like, no,
dude, that's
not really, that's not how it works.
I thought Elena had made up her mind, or at least we're heading towards the right decision. Like, she made two steps forward and then three steps back.
Yeah.
After that bunny reading, I was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Especially when she said, oh, she still loves him despite all the the wrong that he had done towards her, and even though she knows how hypocritical he is. Come on, Alina, just listen to your mom. Just pack up your bags and go already.
Yeah, she's lying to herself, I think. It was perfect when she said that. I was like, she is the kind of leap that you have to take. The leap of faith and the ignoring of red flags.
Oh, yeah. Talk about red flags, right? Yeah, I'm just, I don't know. I wish I could just reach out to Alina and just say, like,
yeah. You know, I'm looking forward, though, to the next episode, right? That's where she confronts him about the friend.
Yeah, she dropped the bomb on the setup that she deployed.
What does he say? Did you try to test me, or did you set me up or something like that? I'm like, yes, I'm here for this.
Right. All right, Lon. So I figured we can close out with your least favorite couple, Jenny and Sumit, who needs to commit. And now we know why he doesn't want to commit. It's because that kitchen, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Jenny Rella, what's going on? Yeah.
So this is the part where, you know, obviously I don't really care about them, but this is the part that I knew was going to be entertaining for entertainment's sake.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Was just this. Yeah.
So can we start from the top? Can we start from the beginning where she supposedly has this female friend, this only female friend in India, which, let's be real, is paid by TLC to make an appearance. So she met up with Deepali and they both kiki over, I guess, sweet lassi or something, right? And Can I just say, I'm not sure if y'all caught this, but Jenny actually said this. She tends to get along better with younger people than people her own age. Really? Really, Jenny? Okay. All right. But I mean, in all seriousness, I like how objective Dipali is. I don't know if she was following cue cards or whatever that's being flashed in front of her and for her to read those lines, but I like how she reminded Jenny about the dynamics of Indian families being, all joint and living together. It's not uncommon. And I like how she checked Jenny when Jenny said, "But I'm American." She was like, "But Jenny, you're in India." And I'm like, "Yes, yes, Queen, yes." Like, yes, drop it. Check her ass. Because that's so triggering
We
line. I
always
think.
pull that shit out, don't we? But I'm an American and it's always our way.
Yeah, but when
When
in
you're here
Rome,
another,
though, like
when you're in
now.
another country, especially. So one, if you want to marry into another culture, there's got to be some kind of compromise here. It just
Right.
can't be, well, I'm an American, because that person can just say, well, I'm Indian or I'm Ethiopian or I'm German. Why does it seem like to us that I'm an American is the end
Trumps over
all?
everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Why
what?
is that? I hate that.
I don't understand that, guys. Like, what is that about? It's like the worldwide standard. Like, if you're American, nothing touches you. But if you're living in India wearing Indian clothes
And you're trying to marry into an
and marry
Indian
into an Indian
family.
family, a very conservative one,
Hey, none of that applies to me. Okay.
So anyway, Dipali was very encouraging in my point of view. She went along the lines of saying to Jenny to suck it up without telling her to really suck it up. But basically she says, be positive, deal with it. You're lucky that, well, she didn't say you're lucky, but she said at least there's some progress made after the counseling
Right, right,
session.
right. In a way, she was saying that this is actually fortunate that this is happening. Like there's a chance, right? There's a small possibility now that they might, this is progress.
Right, that Jenny might get accepted.
Right.
And then fast forward to them coming over and the now infamous scene of Jenny's kitchen. Dude, I'd like to think that that's her. That's genuinely her.
Oh, it's both of them, I think.
I think that's both of them, but I
Yeah.
think I kind of hate the fact that we all pin it on the woman because it seems like kitchen is like the territory of a woman. A woman's domain, if you may call
Right.
it, which again, it's very one-sided, but let's put the Indian culture in the context here too, is that it's very patriarchal, right? The woman has the typical gender role of taking care of the house, cooking, obviously that means taking care of the kitchen. So obviously it's no surprise to me when I watch that. And I mean, a lot of people on the forums, Reddit or whatever, we are all disgusted at how she barely maintains that kitchen. I think she does what she can. She does the bare minimum, but obviously it doesn't meet the mother-in-law standards, whether you're Indian or otherwise, because I'm pretty sure if I did that to my kitchen and my
That shot
Portuguese,
of the sink. Oh my
oh my
gosh.
God, that was
You put dishes
disgusting.
in there? Oh gosh.
Yeah,
That's
disgusting, dude.
sick.
No, but it was like grimy
Yeah,
and
no, moldy.
moldy, and you wash your dishes there, like
Yeah, it
getting the
was
sink.
not no.
Yeah, hard pass. But yeah, oh, I feel like that's how she lives, man.
Here's the thing, right? Even if that was how I lived, big if, because it's not. Even if though,
I've seen your kitchen lawn, so yeah, I can vouch. You don't live like that.
even if that was my standard, as soon as my partner or spouse was like, "Hey, my parents are coming over." Oh shit.
It would be spring cleaning all over again.
Yes, everything immaculate. Okay, so here's the thing. You know you're trying to impress them, right?
Right.
Let's just get that out of the way. You know
Right.
you're trying to impress them. You didn't want to put your best foot forward. You know that they're going to have these cultural standards and you know what they expect of you. Did you just, look at it and go, "Fuck it, I'm an American," and just think that?
That's
Like
probably it.
this is what they're going to have. I'm an American and I don't need to clean this. No, like if you're trying to impress people, yeah. especially, you know, that they already don't like you. Wouldn't you want to put your best foot forward?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just want to go that extra mile and say, look, I'm worthy.
But instead,
I can do this.
Instead, what we got is when the first came in and sat down, boom, cup stained.
Cup marks. Yes.
Cup marks.
Water marks
why?
On the table.
America.
Yeah. America. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I noticed something too, is that when Jenny greets Sumit's parents, she doesn't touch their feet.
Yeah.
I don't know if she purposely didn't do that. I feel like
she's
that's disrespectful. Yeah, because she's American. She's older than them. So technically the older one needs to touch the older person's feet.
And she can't.
And we all saw how she struggled when she bent down to sweep that,
that
floor,
hurt my
man.
Back.
Yeah, and she was like out of breath, dude. I feel bad for Jenny, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, Jenny, you got your work cut out, man. Like,
yeah.
you got to step up. You got to bring your A game now that your in-laws are supervising you and cohabiting with you guys. But I think Sumit's mom has a point, though. Jenny is at that age where she has passed that, you know, willingness to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it because Jenny's like, this is my kitchen. Don't tell me what to do with my kitchen. It's my house. Don't tell me what to do in my house. Unless she humilify herself, like she humbles down and accept those critiques and harsh truths about the way she lives, I don't think she'll ever change. You know, it's more of like, yeah, this is how me and Sumit lives. You know, like,
yeah.
Just, I mean, take it or go, you know?
You know, and maybe this is a cultural thing. I'm almost positive it is. But if I were Sumit, I would have helped. I would have shared kind of in the humiliation and embarrassment.
Yeah. I would apologize on behalf of Jenny. I would say sorry, we didn't clean this up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or, you know what, especially it was like tools. I think there were like painting tools and stuff, you know, like. Oh, if we're going to stick to gender norms, those are men things, right?
Right.
I'd have been like, oh, let me get that. Sorry, I left that there when we were like painting and stuff. Like, I would have shared in that humiliation and embarrassment and made it about us. But it looked like he was relishing in the moment.
He was just being the good old translator.
Clean the kitchen.
Yeah. I think a lot of people also felt that Sumit was using his mom to discipline Jenny. And
because he can't, because he doesn't.
Probably he doesn't have the balls to stand up to her, but also to mold her into doing things the Indian way, or the way that he wants, the way that his mom does things, or the way he's used to. And I think I wouldn't put it past Sumit to throw Jenny under the bus, because I think that's what he did. He doesn't take ownership of the fact that that's his house too. You know, he just, oh, this is the kitchen, the women's domain. So this is all on Jenny. Oh, Jenny doesn't use the broom. It's like, bitch, you can pick up the broom too. You got two hands. You got, you can sweep for her. Why does she, as a 60-year-old woman, have to bend down and sweep it for you? Like, come on, man.
Or if what our earlier hypothesis was, is that he really doesn't want to marry her and he looks for every opportunity not to, that this is an opportunity to be like, this is what you're going to be in for. If you want to marry me, you still want to marry me now?
You know?
Yeah. So I think,
too, that he's in too deep because he went through the divorce. His parents paid him out of it, you know, or paid the in-laws off, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
And then now that he's living with her, like, I'm pretty sure he's unhappy with the way things are, and he's just not communicating that. Because the moment he does, Jenny's like on the defense, you know, becomes defensive and
tears an asshole into him. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And she said, oh, you want to pick a fight with me? Like, you want to go, man?
Yeah. There was a GIF that I saw, and it was just a clip of the scene, and I completely forgot it. But she says something like, Mary. And he said, Mary you. And then she was like, yeah, don't you remember? And I'm like, whoa. Freudian slip here of fucking Sumit, dude. Yeah, dude. Like, yeah, you're supposed to marry Jenny, dude.
That's what the show is about, dude.
Yeah.
This is not like 90 Day Cohabitors or something. Anyway, I've concluded, Lon. that based on my overall viewership of this 90 Day Fiancé franchise and spin-offs, the whole shebang, right? The whole 90 Day Fiancé universe, my top three messy homes so far. And you might have a different list, right? But my top three is so far this kitchen is disgusting, obviously. So, you know, Jenny and Sumit's kitchen, that's one of it. The other two are Tanya and Sinjin's small in-law unit or whatever that's that, you know, the shed. Yeah, shed. Right. That was it. The shed, which was not ready when Sinjin came, remember?
Right.
And lastly, Paul's and Perini. Oh my God, it's disgusting.
With the fly paper and garbage bags on the
Oh God.
That was a rough one.
That was a rough one.
Because there were kids there too, right?
Yeah, they had the baby.
They had the baby in there. Yeah. I was like,
and there were diapers all over the floor. Like, yeah. No, no, no thanks.
I agree. That's a good list. I agree.
All right. All right. Cool, cool. So Lon, we've reached the end of this episode. Tell us your WTF moment.
WTF moment was easily when Steven tried to convert Alina's mom. Easily. Yeah, I felt some type of way. I think it would have been bearable if she said, no, not my cup of tea. And he's like, ah, okay. Had to try. You know, it would have been like, all right, okay, cool. Let's move on. But when he continued to push it and push it, I'm like,
Not cool, bro.
I know.
Yeah, mine is a toss-up between that, you know, him being so evangelical about, you know, Mormonism, and the kitchen.
The kitchen.
The kitchen was the sink.
Yeah, like, that kitchen. That's all I remember right now is gross. The shot of that sink. Like, whoa.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust the food coming out of that kitchen. Like, I'm not sure if the dishes are washed well.
No.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, you can show your support by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90 Day Fiancé WTF. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. You can find me on Instagram at Lan, L-A-N, underscore like, underscore L-A-W-N, or at I-I-T-A-L-I-X. I stream on Facebook every weekend at Italics Plays, I-I-T-A-L-I-X-P-L-A-Y-S. We play the hottest video games starting between 9 and 10 p.m. Pacific time, and we stay up all night long.
Nice. I was going to say, Lan, I'm not sure if you know this, but Varya is asking people for donation to support Jeffrey.
I saw that. I did. Okay, let's get into it.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I did see that. I saw it. And I guess she's defending him. And does she think he's innocent? I didn't read too much into it. I just saw that she's like, yes, we need to fight for justice. You know, and I was like, what? Yeah, so she...
But the way she framed it, it's not that... Jeffrey is trying to fight for his innocence, but it's mainly to be able to see his children again.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. So I still think that's disgusting though, because if there's clear evidence that he did abuse someone multiple times, there's even attempted kidnapping. Why would you be on that side of this abusers? I just don't get that. I thought that's very black and white, but for Varya to continue to support him, I mean, either she's on the hook for a green card or she genuinely cares for his sons, which
I'm like,
okay, maybe. Yeah, maybe she's looking out for the sons. But then I would start a GoFundMe for the son, right? Not for the dad. I would even shy away from Jeffrey altogether. But the fact that she's sort of bringing him up to, it's, I don't know, it's just tasteless.
Yeah, I don't know what their relationship was like, too. So we don't get all the details. So, you know, I wonder if he explained it, or he, whatever, he told her the things that needed to be said for her to be able to get past it.
Yeah.
Right. So that by the time that he was found guilty, she has already reframed this. You know, she has a different perspective, a different set of eyes, and she's heard all she needed to hear, not necessarily to justify the violence, but to be able to move on from it and to see him as a different person. So I could kind of see that too, right? If I loved somebody and everyone hated her, but I saw somebody else, and I've definitely been in that situation where I saw somebody else. I saw a completely different person than what everybody else saw. And I was like, well, actually, you don't know her like I do. And she's actually really sweet, guys. And then we break up 2 years later.
Yeah.
So, I mean, love makes you do shit like that, right? So.
Yeah, love is blind, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you think of this semi-new cast of season 5 of 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days?
I'll have to see it. I think on paper, they try to spin up these really interesting stories and stuff, you know, which makes it even seem more contrived.
It's like, yeah.
Okay, guys, here's the story we're going to set up for you guys. Like, okay, let's go ahead and read into these bios, right? So it just... You know, I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
It's an interesting cast, though, on paper and visually. I hate to kind of say that, but the differences, that seems so shallow and fucked up for me to say. But, I think there are some major differences in the casting. And for those that don't know, I'm not even going to say it. I'll let you find out for yourselves.
Yeah. All we can say is Usman is back.
Oh, yeah. He's going to need another hit single.
Yeah, that's why, right?
He's going to need another hit single.
he's back to promote his second album or something, or his follow-up album.
For what it's worth, I'm happy that he's no longer with Lisa.
Baby girl Lisa, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's moved on too, right? She's married and everything, so.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't keep tabs on Lisa, y'all. That's no big secret of mine.
Yeah. Like,
but I mean, she's married.
She's married. So, oh, well. Good for her. But, you know, he...
To a foreigner?
No. To a local, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Because remember, she said she has 50 guys from the States just waiting on her. So.
Wow. She wasn't lying then. Was
yeah.
She?
So, one of them caught the hook or something. I don't know. But... All right, Lon. Anything else that you want to say before we close up? Any shows you want to recommend?
I'm watching this show now based on a podcast I listen to. Ooh. Okay, wait. The show is not based on a podcast. I listen to true crime podcasts. Mm-hmm. And there was an interesting case on this podcast about a family, 3 generations, 11 people all in all living under the same roof. They hung themselves.
No.
And in the podcast, they said, oh, I have the reference notes, but there's a really good documentary on Netflix about it. And I was like, oh, and it's a pretty good documentary. So there's, I forget what it's called, the something murders, the Bousar murders. I'm butchering it probably, but it's about family, I want to say in India, of 11. They all lived in the same roof, under the same roof. And without divulging too much, they were all found. I'm not going to say murder or suicide because that's part of the mystery, right? They were found, all of them dead and hanging.
Oh,
yeah. And one of them was not, which is obviously part of the mystery. Like, why? How come she's not? But anyways, you know, was it suicide? Was it willful? Or was this a murder?
Yeah.
And what the fuck happened here? You know, obviously it's commentary on the social aspect of it, but also how quickly things spread. Because part of the problem too, and this has nothing to do with the murder, but trying to keep a handle on the situation, was somebody got past the police and went into the home and videotaped the hanging, the 10 hanging bodies, and then uploaded it to WhatsApp and
what?
Spread. Like wildfire.
Oh my God.
And at one point, I want to say there were, if I'm quoting the podcast correctly, at one point there was up to 10,000 people like in the streets trying to get a glimpse of the place that the murder happened, or murder/suicide mystery happened at. when you get something like that on your phone, you're just like, what is going on?
Yeah, you want to see it for yourself too.
You want to see, and that's another thing. That's another, that's a whole another thing. Like, why does that interest us so much, right? But
it's, should we send out a warning to Jenny? Like, she should be worried.
Careful, but yeah, Jenny. So there's that.
Oh man. Okay, that's very interesting. I am rewatching season one and season two of You on Netflix. So that
the new season's out.
Yeah, because the new season is out. The new season toppled Squid Games and
it did.
It did. It's now number one.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I will catch up. You know, I'm happy to talk about it more when once I finish season three. But yeah, it's funny how when you rewatch it, there's a lot of things that you didn't catch the first time around. And now you have a brand new perspective of the entire show. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, and I think a lot of, I mean, hopefully folks who listen to this who might have already watched You, starring Penn Badgley from, was he from Gossip Girl? I think. Yeah. I think, right? Isn't that the show with Blake Lively? He used to date Blake Lively too. So anyway, I didn't watch that. No. I didn't watch that show, but yeah, he's the, no, I don't want to spoil anything, but the show revolves around how he's a sociopath. Mm. It's no secret, I think, because when you see the trailer, you can figure out for yourself. But what I failed to see that I now saw after finishing season one is that his girlfriend in season one, Beck, there were a lot of red flags too that he refuses to see, and it just exacerbates the monster in him.
Mm.
So I'm not sure if y'all caught that from the get-go, because I guess the way the show went, all I saw from my lens at that time was that, oh my god, this guy is a sociopath. He's crazy.
You kind of focused on him.
Yeah, you kind of focus on him, and it's all his fault. You know, this is all him. But then when you kind of psychoanalyze everything, you rewatch it especially, you realize that Beck has a lot of issues, and Beck has wronged him many times. And I think he might be triggered at a lot of points because of Beck. Mm. So anyway, without divulging too much, I totally encourage y'all to see You.
Yeah, I have to finish season two. I like season one.
Oh, you haven't watched season two? Okay, great. So
I saw parts. So, okay, I saw like the first three episodes. And at the time, it didn't grow on me quick enough. And I was like, before finishing it, I started getting into other shows. And then before I knew it, I stopped watching it. So,
okay. But you did finish season one.
I have finished season one.
Okay, right. Cool. All right, listeners. Thank you for sticking around. We really appreciate that you listen to us, even though there are a gajillion podcasts out there that talks about the same things. But we hope you enjoy our company. And until next time, be kind to one another. Wait, isn't it Filipino month?
Filipino Heritage Month or something?
Yeah.
So I did think that it could be because one of my friends was posting stuff, but I also thought it was like mental health. Also,
there was Mental Health Week, I think.
Oh, there was Mental Health Week.
Yeah, okay, but it's Filipino Heritage Month.
Happy Filipino Heritage Month to all our Filipino listeners out there.
Yeah. Thank you, love. All right, y'all. Thank you. Love y'all. And
bye. Bye. I am sad and so